rediscover the facets of yourself that have been kept hidden away for far too long. For just $1, you can take a journey and make it your ultimate transformation. Center of the Sun Plus offers more tools, support, and community to help you explore your inner realms. Click the link in the description to join today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I just want to say thanks to you for joining me this hour. A cold Coca-Cola, a hot 100% beef Big Mac from McDonald's. I don't know what they had in it beforehand. These crunchy ass kettle potato chips at the grocery store. Personally, I'm eating Grippos at the moment, and I'm sure you've eaten at least one of these snacks at least one time in your life. And I say that because that is due to the way American food companies have changed the way your food is processed. Basically, everything is processed to some fucking degree to taste better or something of the sort. That is probably why you and I see a lot of pain, suffering, all different kinds of trauma in the news lately. In addition, you swipe by several truly gut-wrenching word vomit subtweets that are nothing but an attempt to wield hatred like a Lannister sword in Game of Thrones. You see several newly polished daggers of self-hate piercing one's eyeballs, or particularly the eyeballs of bitter men every day. You can tell quite clearly that people have stressful home lives. And a lot of those problems stem from problems around unemployment, or underemployment rather, which lead and have led to problems with food and the security of food that people eat. You see limitations in the basic choices that people have. It's actually kind of sad. There is awesome news, though. I want to change the perspective, though. There's always awesome news. There's always a way to look at these issues through another lens. And I know you want to be a light bulb in their dark and cluttered basements. You want to be a force for good. Like a saint that enacted, you know, Donut Day the other day. You stand with open arms for those in need of comfort, just like that man who had his open box of donuts ready for me at Walmart the other day on Free Donut Day. In addition, you see a lot of talk about health and wellness and mental and physical health. And there's something magical when you take care of yourself. There's like a breath of fresh air or something that happens, something spiritual. There's a spiritual aspect to health and wellness. You know that when your body is healthy, your soul can use your personality as a tool of expression. Thank you for listening. This is Center of the Sun Podcast. I am your host, Devon, and I make it my mission to help build up your understanding of the esoteric energy system, aka the soul. But I do so in a manner that uses words, voice, and music. I'm sharing with you today the spiritual aspect of health and wellness, but it is a little bit more technical than we previously thought. You know that when your body is healthy, just like I said a moment ago, your soul, as we've discussed on this show in prior episodes, uses your personality as a tool of expression. But that cannot happen in an effective way to perpetuate your ascension to whatever fucking higher level you're trying to go. Because I don't know where the fuck we're going, but we're doing something. If you're not balanced inside your body, it's really hard to like create balance on the outside of your body. It's like as above, so below. Welcome. Thank you for listening. Send your questions to host@centrosun21.com because, and excuse me as I drink my Milwaukee's best light, I would add. Your only concern is to make sure that no one is left behind. That is the purpose of many people's personality and expression, is that of helping other people. So, children, men, women, all kinds of people, they need help, but not everyone wants your help, and that's something that you have to come to terms with. Sometimes doing nothing is better than putting all of your energy into doing something that is unwarranted and inefficient. Anyway, I'm saying all of this to say that you can see what I see. That is an epidemic of loneliness, dissatisfaction, and complacency. I am seeing an unwillingness to get up and go to work. Well, that's, I guess, in direct contrast with my high energy self, but a line of conscious and supreme beings, in my perspective, are just sitting there waiting for me to do something about the world. Do you feel the same way? Let me know. Tweet me at Natural Devon on Twitter. The soul of men and women and animals as well, and all kinds of different kinds of people, built this world. They made ways with their dirty hands and dirty feet. Come on, somebody. And they don't wash their legs. But getting a balanced dinner and a good night's rest under the twinkle of the sun, and the sun and the moon and all that shit, peeking through the dark windows at night, that was normal. Going to bed and on a good, at a time, you know, at a curfew, you know, having a curfew and waking up every day early each day, taking care of business, building roads and worlds with words and shit, and eating meals around large wooden tables again and again. We're losing that as a society. And you no longer see people getting up and going to work. You see people trying to find a way to avoid doing that. Or when they do that, it's not for the purpose of getting up and doing something meaningful. It's the purpose of literally getting money so they can come back home and lay down and be happy again. But you don't see people pursuing their dreams. That's what work should be. Work should not be an ends to a means. Work should be the creation of your future and the solidification of your legacy, honey. And instead, you're witnessing a mob, fucking internet mob of people. You know, it actually astounds me. I was talking to my boss about the cinnamon challenge. I'm going to take a sip of my Milwaukee's best. The black woman that had the funniest meme around the cinnamon challenge, she had 54 million views at the time that I watched the cinnamon challenge, and her coughing out and like being like really ridiculous with the cinnamon challenge. And unfortunately, I watched it at work, So my, of course, my boss is like there when during the one time that I'm watching a YouTube clip. But I make a statement like, oh my God, I bet with 54 million views, if she monetized that channel, she is now rich as a result. And he was like, no, actually, they're not, because that is impossible. And it got me thinking like, oh my God, there's a subset of people that does not understand the fact that our economy is changing. And as a clinician, he makes all of his money with people coming to him and seeking advice. But what he does not understand is that every time the news calls him to do a clip, guess where they put that clip? On the internet. And they monetize that bitch, and they run ads and in front and after and during that same clip that he thinks does not impact the economy. Anyway, this rise of digital media that I'm talking about has also coincided with the rise of ultra-processed food. So in the way that we are trying to use technology to help us have more fun and be more social and connect with more people, it's also having an effect on the way that we process our food. And our food is now ultra-processed to the extent that it doesn't matter what you eat, there is a chemical or something on that food to preserve it in some way or do something to it. And now we're here. I'm like, what? Now we're here. Now we're here just reckoning, you know. We're trying to get our things together. We're trying to come back to the truth because I just got done listening to this clip on NPR about the rise of ultra-processed foods and how it stemmed from a lot of legislators in the federal government dying of heart disease. And then that prompted a bunch of like studies and like these rushed studies and probably a lot of lobbying, but it coincided with a lot of heart disease related deaths. So then the government started making rules about low-fat food. But what the government did not understand was that low-fat food was not the exact cause, or the high fat food wasn't the cause of heart disease. It was this overeating. It was these behaviors of overeating that became popular after the Great Depression. So NPR has a really good story about this, and I'll link it. I'll link it on my blog, DVAUG. Ooh, excuse me. I'm like burping into the goddamn microphone. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. But what I was saying is that you and I are here reckoning with the fact that our behavior is linked to all kinds of obesity related diseases. And there's nothing to really be alarmed of right now. And that's the purpose of today's episode, is to kind of give you more information about the foundation of how our bodies work. And because something is linked to obesity doesn't mean that it's obesity causes something. It's just there's a cascade that's being created when you don't take care of certain things. And there's nothing wrong with you yet. I want you to understand that. If you're healthy, you're healthy. Whatever your doctor says, that's what you should do. But because you have pretty good health insurance, because generally most people do, most likely, in order to find out if there's anything wrong with you, you have to go to the doctor. And specifically, if it's related to food, like obesity or diabetes or something like that, you must go to the doctor. And naturally, during those times, you're told to skip a meal before that appointment. And that's the topic of today's episode, is like what happens when you skip that meal or skip several meals. That's called time-restricted eating, and it is the next wave of defense against heart-related diseases and weight-related diseases. Time-restricted eating is often ordered by your doctor because your blood work will be more accurate. I mean, that's basically that's what it's for, especially when you measure like glucose or lipids or sugars or fats, how much of that is in the blood. And you have to fast because right after you eat, and I learned this from drawing people's blood all day, being a research assistant, the level of how many French fries you eat in milkshakes and stuff. Like, if you have too much of that, if you shove too much of that in your mouth at one time, it can't be burned off by your metabolism within 8 hours. You know, it takes longer than 8 hours to burn that off. So you can, it shows up in the blood, and then you look like you're like have like super, you're having a diabetic, you know, whatever episode. And it's just like, no, you just drank a milkshake and all that shit is still in your blood. Your blood can't get rid of it yet. And it's that process of metabolism that we're talking about today. And it's particularly, and we're not only talking about food being expelled from the blood, we're also talking about toxins and other unrelated proteins that are not regulated as quickly as your carbohydrates and your fats and your sugars and stuff like that. So listen up. Some proteins live inside your cell for up to like 3 months. Some die off in 3 minutes, but some live on, and they're long, and they long acting, and they're folded up and all crunkled up, and they do shit. But there's a point in which that stuff is supposed to move and regenerate and move and recycle. And unfortunately, some toxins never go away. And that is what doctors believe cause cancer, which is why they have to use a poison to get it out of you. They have to use a poison to supersede another toxin. So look. You know your body the best. That's basically, you know, that is my line all the time. I always say that to people, like, everyone's body is different. I don't know. Like, I tell my patients, they always tell me, like, oh my God, like, I'm having blood work done again. I'm like, honey, I did not sign the consent. I did not tell you to do any of this. You have to make the decision that is best for your body. And if you have trouble struggling with only eating when you're hungry, if you're always fucking hungry and you can never be satisfied, mostly any doctor, if you get a disease related to your hunger or your inability to stop eating, any doctor, the first thing they'll tell you is to stop eating so much. And whether or not you're overweight or whatever it is, if you have an issue with eating and it causes an illness, the first thing they'll do is try to restrict your diet. And they try to restrict it, what is normally, you know, 3 meals a day, 2 snacks. If you got to have something, make it some fruit or something, or, you know, a low fat thing. But there are times when your meals increase and decrease based on your energy needs of your, the energy needs of your body. And specifically, like, when you're working out, unlike me right now, I'm drinking a Milwaukee's Best Light. Because I fucking love that shit. I think it tastes good. It's so weird. Everyone thinks it's shitty. I'm like, oh, it's for crackheads and me. But when you're working out, you tend to eat like 5 or 6 meals a day and like two or three more snacks in addition to that to like kickstart your metabolism. Because that we know that like the carbs we eat burn fast. But that's the thing about the body is that like, yeah, it needs the carbs, but like why would it only rely on carbs? That's stupid. Why would it only rely on food? And I mean, you've been to museums where they have people in there. I mean, there are exhibits about people and genocide and stuff. And people live very long without any food. So we know that there is a threshold. There is a threshold. And there is a threshold of health, too. Just skipping one meal doesn't mean that you will die. So, you know, there's a limit. Excuse me. It's my beer. There's a limit to how much you can eat. And you must fight that urge. You must fight one of the biggest problems out there that, you know, that most Americans are facing. And that is the fact that the more you try new different ways of eating, Weight Watchers, this, that, and that, you know, keto diet, this and that. I mean, keto diet, that's what we're going to talk about today. But all these different diets, the more you try them, the worse you look, or the more you dislike your results, or the more you dislike the way that you look as a result. So, you know, I'm going to share with you some science that may be able to give you some new hope. Okay. And I have two studies and a few YouTube videos, because I'm obsessed with YouTube, that point out one thing. And I want you to write this down. Take out a pen. Get ready. Pause it if you need to. Take out a pen. But the biggest thing that we're going to learn today is that giving up can help. Okay? And giving up, not in your will, like you want to remain vigilant in the pursuit of balance and wellness and wholeness and all of those things. You want to do what is best for your body, but we're going to learn about time-restricted eating today. And we're going to answer the question definitely around if you're allowed to fucking drink coffee and drink water during these times. So what I know for sure is that, yes, you can drink coffee, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm back it up with several resources. I'm going to tell you, yes, because I draw people's blood, and I know people are allowed to have black coffee and water when they're supposed to fast. And I never really knew why that was allowed, but today I know why. And so what the fuck is time-restricted eating? Because I keep saying this term, and I keep interchanging fasting and keto diet and intermittent fasting and all that kind of stuff. It's basically all the same thing. It's much like when the doctor told you to fast for 8 hours before your appointment, the last time you got your renal function panel ran, you know, your glucose and all that kind of shit. Time-restricted eating is a process of limiting your food intake in order to clear out debris from the previous meal and from the environment and whatever else you expose yourself to. The bad thing about time-restricted eating, and that's why we are exploring it on Center of the Sun, is because the research only began like 20 or 30 years ago. It is not as researched as heart surgery or brain surgery. I mean, there are other topics that are way more advanced, that are way more way less complicated than this. And we know that that time-restricted eating kickstarts biological processes. And the one that we're going to talk about in detail today is called autophagy. Okay? So time-restricted eating, fasting, intermittent fasting, keto diet, all that shit, it kickstarts the biological process of autophagy, and that's why it works. Autophagy has only been researched for the last 20 to 30 years. So it is extremely new. So I want you to, you know, take what I'm saying and then take that information and go verify it yourself, because that's how we do it on Center of the Sun. Center of the Sun is a clearinghouse of information. We don't want to direct anybody to things that hurt them. So I want you to take this information, don't act on it immediately, but act on researching it first, okay? So, what do we know about intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating, fasting, keto diet, all that kind of stuff? Well, research has observed in both plants and animals that when certain chemicals like amino acids and glucose and lipids and yeast and mammals and plants and all kinds of different life forms, when you restrict those chemicals, cells, particularly we're talking about human cells today, become more efficient and reduce their volume. There is a process where when you starve a cell, it becomes more efficient by reducing its volume. It reduces its volume by expelling debris. So I want to point you to the Annual Review of Nutrition. It's a journal in which researchers have written about this topic of autophagy at length. If you want a link and you want to read more about this topic, autophagy, please visit my blog, devaughn.org. It's spelled DVAUGHN.org. And I want to tell you what they said. Okay, so these researchers say that we previously believed that carbohydrates and the foods that we eat are broken down after we start or after we stop eating for long periods of time. Once those stores are gone, so, you know, you eat, what you don't burn off, you store as fat, and then you keep eating, and then you get a little muffin top, and then you get a, you're a cutie with a booty, and then you have ass and titties, and then you are just like out here. But we never let our bodies deplete the stores. And that's why ketogenic, the ketogenic diet or the keto diet, it encourages people to allow your body to start using that fat as fuel. And it's promising. I mean, people use it all the time. And once those stores are gone, you know, typically you have to refuel through eating more food. And if you don't eat, guess what happens? You become very uncomfortable with, and then the process of starvation sets in and you start getting panicked. I start sweating. I start feeling like I'm going to die. And I immediately have to refuel when I, you know, don't eat for a long period of time. But researchers have learned, and I want you to pay very close attention to this because I am like shocked. Researchers have learned a lot about human metabolism by studying what cells do when they don't have enough food. So instead of studying the body, you know, when we do have food, what happens when we don't have food? Well, these researchers in the Annual Review of Nutrition found a dynamic rearrangement of cellular membranes. So there is parts of the cell and, you know, words, science words that I can't even pronounce, that started to shift and open up and break apart and be recycled. And that means that once the food that we eat is used as energy, our cells start rearranging and recycling the material that's already inside of the cell. But guess what? It starts using the waste first. And by doing this, all viruses, bacteria, fats, sugars, things that are not required for the cell to function, started to be broken down and recycled into more efficient proteins. There is not enough protein that you can eat to help your cells do this. Basically, what you're doing is telling your body to not clean up. You're telling your body to stay lazy. They found this dynamic rearrangement of cellular membranes, and it's like shifting the gasoline in your car. It's like taking the gasoline and shifting it to something more efficient, into a fuel that's more efficient. And by shifting the gasoline like substances in the cells, so those sugars, those fats, those viruses, those parasites that are inside of your cell, by using those, by taking those gasoline-like substances and moving them and recycling them, so the viruses and the proteins and the toxins are used and recycled into new proteins, but guess what? The glucose and the lipids are given to the brain. And in similar research studies, what they found is that this process of autophagy that is kickstarted by time-restricted eating, it is observed in every single part of the body except for the brain, because the brain is protected and the brain needs fat and sugar. It can't go 1 second without sugar. There is no autophagy. There is no way to break down sugar in the brain because it just can't happen. So there's hope. That's why I said there's hope. And the brain needs all that glucose and all that fat. There's another study. In 2015, scientists at the University of Louisville concluded in a study about people in critical care units. They found that those people benefited from treatments that reduced swelling and improved healing after major surgery. So in patients, you know, any tragic illness or any tragic injury, you want, the main thing that doctors want to do is reduce inflammation. Because when you reduce inflammation, it tells the body to stop freaking out. We got it. You can start healing. You don't have to fight no more. Autophagy caused by time-restricted eating was one of those treatments that doctors really believed would help patients heal faster in this particular setting. Like, okay, well, if they're in the ICU, of course you want to decrease inflammation. So therefore, we need to starve these people. Kind of like on Grey's Anatomy when a brain tumor patient insists on standing up and walking right after their brain surgery. It's kind of like that. Very risky, very stupid. We should not be, you know, this 2015 Kentucky study is saying like, okay, we get it. We get autophagy. We understand it. But like, it is so nuanced that you can't just like pull the plug in the ICU and think that it's going to make all the difference. Clinical studies, particularly this one, found that there were three main types of autophagy, okay? The first type of autophagy is called macroautophagy, and this is the most common form of autophagy. And it's when cellular waste, that rearrangement, that dynamic rearrangement of cellular waste is disposed of in bulk. So it's kind of like, you know, the garbage man coming every Thursday, putting your thing in the trash and doing it all at one time, as opposed to coming every day and picking up bottle by bottle. The second type, and that's, you know, that happens most commonly, and that's what will most happen if you, you know, conduct, you know, a diet and time restricted eating. The second one is this is called chaperone mediated autophagy, and it's I don't really fucking understand this shit, because that's the purpose of me explaining it, is that you don't really have to know every single nuance about this. That's why I'm like, why are people even asking if you can have coffee? Like, do what the fuck you want to do. Listen to your body, because the second kind of autophagy is a process that happens less frequently and is associated with recycling specific kinds of proteins. So they only happen under certain conditions with certain kind of proteins. And then moving along, there's a third kind of autophagy, and this is called microautophagy, where it happens closer to the recycling site. It happens closer to those organ parts, or the parts of the cell called organelles, and they happen close to the site of recycling because they just like fall in, you know. It requires no energy, little to no energy. That's why it's called a microautophagy. But knowing that there's not just one kind of fasting, there's not just one kind of autophagy, there's nuances even within these processes. These biological processes are so nuanced, and they're regulated in some kind of magic that we don't understand. And that's why I want to look to research studies, because it's like, we don't really have to think about activating or deactivating certain biological processes, and you can thank God for that. It's like, it just happens automatically. And sometimes you have to take a step back and realize that we are prohibiting our own body with the ingestion of ultra-processed foods. That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. That's why I opened it up like that, because it's like, there's a way that your body works, and then there's a way that we're fucking it up. You're fucking it up right now. And then in that process of fucking it up, you're going to like overdo it by like making sure that you starve to death. And it's like, no, there are certain instances in which you don't have to be so serious. And I'm going to explain to you those instances. Particularly in any case or any circumstance in which you have a critical illness, autophagy is turned off by your immune system. So you have to realize that in order to ensure your survival, you have to allow your body to regulate its own processes and stop picking and choosing how your body will work. That's not your job. It's not your job to understand your metabolism. Just live and let live. You know your body the best. So when you are looking into diets like time-restricted eating, or fasting, understand that it's not an endeavor, or it's not a project, or it's not an extreme makeover of any sort. Yes, you can have black coffee. Yes, you can have water with lemon. Like, yes, you can ease into it, because time-restricted eating is and should be used as a tool to achieve balance inside and outside of your body. It's not, you know, you can lose weight and you can gain muscle and you can work your life around it, but that's not the purpose of it. And when scientists observed patients who were given extra glucose during their recovery in intensive care units, those scientists or those patients did not die any faster or slower than those who did not eat anything. In certain circumstances, autophagy is turned off and the healing process is just what it, the fuck it is. Or it's impossible for autophagy to take place because of the presence of something else happening. Basically, what they found is that the body has a fun way of contradicting itself and tricking itself. That's why people can only practice medicine. You know, we don't have enough information about our own biology to start regulating the nuances of our metabolism under these extreme conditions. Excuse me. So, the same rules apply. The same fucking rules apply about getting your doctor's approval for any diet. So I want to just make it plain right there. And I work as a research assistant and I take vitals and record data and do all kinds of stuff all day long. And it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes changes to your body, even small ones like fasting or skipping a meal, can be detrimental to your health. So I feel like you should be informed of that. You know, it can be detrimental. You could die. But you want to consult your doctor before making any big changes to your health. And but keep in mind that you make the best decisions, the best decisions for yourself. And this is a highly nuanced subject. I'm not saying run away from it. I'm saying listen to your body, do some research, and act accordingly. In another YouTube video that I have a link to on my blog, Nobel Prize winner Yoshinori Oshumi. I need a drink after that. That requires a drink. He led in this field of research. And, you know, since 2014, after he won his Nobel Prize, you know, he real proud, traveling the world, you know, speaking of his accomplishments, because he was able to detail the this process of autophagy in not only mammals and humans, but various other life forms. It's like fucking crazy. And he concludes in several of his presentations that though he personally has uncovered a lot about the foundation of our biology and how that links to the foundation of our society, not enough information has been gathered. But, you know, clinical trials are promising, whatever, you know, it's still good to know. We only have about 30, but, you know, he says that we only have about 30% of the understanding that we need to start making these like decisions about what to follow in terms of a fad diet. Like I said earlier, this subject has only been researched for the last like few decades. There's not enough information. We need people to live and die before we can make decisions about what is good or bad. So don't follow those fucking diet gurus. They're fucking stupid. They're only trying to sell you something. If they're trying to sell you a system, that's weird. I'm trying to sell you like information. This is a clearinghouse. This is not a for-profit business. Maybe one day it will be, but you can ease into time-restricted eating. Basically, that's what I'm trying to tell you. And just like any other diet, you're allowed to cheat if you want to. You can't force yourself to do shit that you technically don't want to do. Like, just do what you need. And yes, you can have water and black coffee and tea during time-restricted eating. And I'm saying this with such confidence. I'm saying this because your body is strong and healthy even when you're sick. I've seen people come back from the dead very quickly. It's very weird, like within a month. And your body is always striving for balance. That's why if you decide to undergo, you know, a new diet like time-restricted eating, keep in mind that autophagy is dependent upon the amount of waste in your body. So if you're you know, if you don't have a lot of shit in your body to get rid of, like, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, girl, you're allowed to cheat. When you restrict your food intake, the energy that you would be using to break down food is used in other parts of the body. So it's like, if you don't eat, you know, you can think clearer. Like, if you don't eat, your body can dispel of waste better and clear debris better. You want to do things that take attention away from the gut because it requires so much energy to process food. That is why it works, is because you're allowing your body to use the energy that it would be using breaking down food. It can, like, start cleaning up waste. You give it a chance to, like, have a second to clean up. So when you are considering foods and beverages you can or cannot have, make sure that you are maximizing the amount of time that your gut needs to break down food. So, for instance, it takes much longer for your body to break down meat, like 24 hours or something like that. And cutting down on the amount of meat in your diet will allow your body to work faster. And it requires less time for fasting. You know, it's like, it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, you're allowed to eat more if all you eat is plants. Like, of course, you don't have to expel so much. You allow your body to use energy to clean the other areas of your body that are neglected when you eat too much. And your gut is already self-cleaning. It contracts and constricts and all that kind of stuff. It has a bacteria in there, like, create amino acids that clean up. Your bacteria that you host in your body, your resident microbiota, thank you, season one of Center of the Sun, that bacteria makes you feel hungry when you restrict your diet. Like, that's how it works, because the bacteria obviously wants food, but you have to find that balance, and that balance is found through the process of autophagy. Your body will get rid of the excess bacteria that are making you overeat, and when you eat, you give life to the bacteria that should be there. It's like a symbiotic thing, experience. Another video that I posted on my blog, Rhonda Patrick, she's a nutrition expert or something like that. And she describes why, she gives you real science why water and black coffee are permissible when decreasing your food intake or doing the time-restricted eating thing. And that's primarily, you have to keep in mind that comfort is huge when making this kind of lifestyle change. So you don't want to go overboard by starving yourself and dehydrating yourself and restricting your diet, restricting your joy. Don't forget that joy is a part of eating. Research shows that your body goes into autophagy when sugar and fat is restricted, not caffeine. So your nervous system can use caffeine, but those cells don't use caffeine. People get lumbar punctures in my clinic all the time, and they have to fast, but then they can drink a Pepsi. It's like weird. But keep in mind that autophagy is observed everywhere else but the brain. So caffeine is necessary for brain function, or can help brain function in moderation. So what have you learned today, kids? That was a long one. I mean, it's very science-based, but, you know, you're allowed to drink black coffee when you, you know, fast. And when you do these diets and stuff where it says don't eat anything for 24 hours, you're allowed to have water and black coffee at the very least. Those two things can help you guide that lifestyle change and help it make it a more comfortable experience. So time-restricted eating normally occurs within a 14 to 16-hour window where you don't eat. That length of time depends on your health or when you do eat or something like that. I don't know. There's some sort of fraction. But talk to your doctor. I don't fucking know. But the length of time depends on your health, your experience, your willingness to skip food for that day. Scientists all over the world have shown strong evidence that cells have the ability to heal themselves, but you have to allow it to happen through this process called autophagy. Only junk and unnecessary substances are recycled and removed from your blood via the cell through a series of magical systems gifted to us by Mother Nature. So you should be grateful. God damn it. We are fortunate to be able to maximize our metabolism by choosing to increase or decrease the amount of food we have in our diet. It's a choice. And by doing so, we give our body the ability to heal itself by ensuring that all organs and cells are cleared of debris on a regular basis so that cancer cannot set in. During time-restricted eating, coffee, black with no cream and no sugar, is allowed. So send your questions to host@centrason21.com. Please tweet me at Natural Devon on Twitter and visit devon.org, DVAUGHN.org. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make the brave decision to venture within, you will unlock your true potential so you can push forward with confidence, conviction, and a purpose. For only $1, you can become a Center of the Sun Plus Gold member and get closer to that purpose. No matter how difficult the process may be, remember it's your resilience and commitment that will ultimately lead you to where you want to go.